consistency is the key, right?
Yeah.
There are certain players that you can count on, and I would put Russell Wilson at the very, very high end of that list.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to Labor Day edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brand. Hope you guys are having a great holiday. This is a special podcast for you. I'll get to that in a minute. We're presented, as always, by DraftKings. Our producer is Brian Neal, our musical producer. You hear the music under us, Sam Brandt. What a special podcast today. The recently completed, almost hours ago, contract for Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. 5-year extension, 7 years total. One of the biggest deals in the history of the sport for one of the biggest players in the history of the sport is done. And the person who negotiated, who's been representing Russell Wilson all these years as a baseball agent, only one football client named Russell Wilson, has joined the podcast. We got Mark Rogers on, and Mark is going to take us inside as he leaves Denver in the airport talking about the negotiation. He gives us great insights into what went on with Russell and the Broncos, how the contract negotiations started way back at the owners' meetings and finished up on the eve of September 1st, which was the deadline. So we're going to get to that in 1 second. We're going to talk to Mark Rogers about the negotiation of Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. First, I want to give you a word from one of my favorite products, and that's AG1. Athletic Greens is something I take every morning. I just scoop a cup into my water and I just drink it. I started taking it because I didn't want to have all these supplements. I wanted better gut health. I wanted more energy. I want to optimize my immune system. I eat healthy, as you know, and I really try to be abstemious in what I eat, but sometimes I don't get all my greens, so I can just get them right there. Vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, it's all in there, and I do it every day. Early in the morning, I get better sleep quality, I get better mental clarity, it's cheaper than all these other supplements, and it's climate neutral and certified. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/BOS, that's Business of Sports, athleticgreens.com/BOS, take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, AG1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now let's get to Mark Rogers, agent for Russell Wilson, on the just completed 7-year contract between Wilson and the Broncos. Mark, you've been busy. You're joining us now from the Denver airport. Tell us, you're getting out. How long you been there? And give us a little bit of sequence and how this happened with Russ's deal.
Well, you know, first of all, I appreciate being on, Andrew, very, very much, as always. I got here early Monday morning. Got a call from Russell late Sunday night, and made the decision to get on an airplane early Monday morning and get out here. And you know, you've been in these rooms many times, and I really like doing it face to face. I think it's certainly more impactful, right. and especially dealing with you know, in my situation, dealing with a new group, not only a new group of owners, but a general manager and a negotiator I had never dealt with before. So I felt it would be good to be in the room with them and also obviously be present with Russell and his family at the same time when he was making a, you know, life-changing decision about his finances. And so so I got here Monday morning, and, you know, every day was spent, around meeting with the Broncos at their facility. And, you know, some days the meetings were longer than others. And a lot of days, you know, Andrew, Russell has an office at the complex, and I would just literally, you know, I'd pony up in the office and set up my laptop and do my work and you know, get occasional texts, and we'd go in and meet with the Broncos, or I would, and it was good. It was effective, I think. Obviously, we got to the finish line, thank goodness. But anyway, so it was a fascinating, interesting process. You asked when it began. It really began at the annual meeting down in Palm Beach when. Obviously, everybody in the NFL is there, and that's when we first started talking, about the opportunity, to do an extension, and then it kind of grew from there over time.
Let's back up a little bit. I want to get to the deal in a minute, but when we talk about Russ, you are known in kind of the agent world, and I don't know if you take offense to this or maybe pride in it, that you're a baseball guy. And jumping into football for a couple of clients, obviously most well known is Russ. Where do you see yourself in the sort of pantheon of agents jumping into football? Because I see, baseball are used to a different kind of deals and primarily full guarantees and different kind of structures. How has that translated for you in negotiating contracts, especially for Russell?
Oh, you know what? I appreciate, the description, and I do take it as a source of pride. People sometimes forget I've represented Russell first as a baseball player. He hired me to represent him in baseball and, certainly went through that process. And then as time went on and he evolved and it looked like he was going to be in the NFL, I transitioned. I had been I had been certified in the NFL, NFLPA years and years and years ago. And I'd let my certification lapse because I'd made the decision to focus entirely on baseball. So it wasn't completely new to me. Clearly, doing a deal is doing a deal. Whether you're negotiating for a new roof on your house or you're negotiating with the Denver Broncos on the biggest contract in their history, there's still certain tenants that are going to be in play. And, it's all about, as good or better than anybody, it's all about the preparation. And once you're prepared, you can sit down and do it. Clearly, the one huge difference is, football lives in a capped society and there's limitations on how much they can spend. In baseball, there really is no limitation, although there's a tax, a luxury tax. It's not, it certainly hasn't prevented the Dodgers and the Mets from spending, a large on players, but so that's the difficulty. And I did it again, Andrew. I brought up the idea of linking Russell's contract to a percentage of the cap, and I still think it's a fascinating idea that really does help teams plan ahead, knowing they were going to use a certain percentage. But it's a very, very tight business circle, the NFL, and they are reluctant to change. And that's not going to happen. It didn't happen on this deal. It may happen eventually, but it's fun. I love diving into football. And again, it may be a long time before I negotiate another NFL contract because this is a 5-year extension. So, but it was fascinating nevertheless.
When you bring up the idea of percentage of cap, we've heard that a lot. We've heard it. Maybe it was going to be in Aaron's deal. Maybe it was going to be in Mahomes' deal. Maybe it was going to be in Russell's deal back with Seattle. Maybe it was going to be in Russell's deal that he just did. What is the response? You kind of hinted at it. Are basically teams saying we can't do that because we set a precedent and everyone get mad at us? Is that kind of answer?
Well, they don't quite say it like that. That sounds like collusion to me.
Yeah.
So they're pretty careful on the words they choose. I think it's just it's the newness of it. What they can't get their head around is, they talk about being able to plan and scheme using the cap and where their needs are going to be. And I've always thought it would be effective because if you can plan on, for example, that say the quarterback salary is going to be hypothetically 15% of the cap every year, is the player, it wouldn't have to necessarily be a quarterback, it could be Aaron Donald, I don't know. Would is he taking a risk? A little bit of a risk. He's not locking in the dollars. And does the cap go down? Well, when COVID came around, it went down. We all believe, I think, as optimists, that the cap's going to go up dramatically here in the next several years, certainly well beyond where it's at, as we continue to see billion-dollar deals with companies like Amazon coming into the fray and, everything that's going on in gambling and that entire culture.
Right.
And again, Andrew, there are things we haven't even been invented yet that are going to impact the cap. And as those things happen, the cap's going to go up. It is not unlike, I still think the NBA model is the best model, right? Because they get to protect their assets, their primary assets, their best players, with exceptions to the salary cap. Those contracts are exorbitant. Obviously, their cap number really has gone up dramatically over the last few years. And I've always believed, again, looking at the NFL, there's a couple things that I would love to see changed. I think there should be one, and of course, mission in my best interest, there should be one exception to the salary cap, and the club would designate who that player was, and he would be outside that. And probably in most cases, it would be your franchise quarterback or your special player like an Aaron Donald. And I think that certainly would be effective. And the other thing is the whole idea that funding is the limitation, why clubs can't do guaranteed contracts. You know, the funding system is really kind of the usefulness of it and the purpose has really been exhausted a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any clubs on the brink of bankruptcy as there was back in the day when the league put in that system where you had to fund guaranteed contracts. And there's some things like that, but they are, as you know, reluctant to change because they, let's be honest, the owners are quite wealthy already, and they continue to, as we saw with the sale of the Broncos, that the asset value of a franchise just is going through the roof. And go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference you've dealt with so much between baseball and football and basketball and football is the idea of proration and the cap being manipulated in terms of accounting with these big bonuses that you prorate out and keep the first year cap number low. You know, from a team point of view, that's where I would argue against sort of cap certainty every year, because what teams are doing is, well, we just need space now. You know, we'll worry about it later. If teams were smart enough to really load cap in year one to allow for flexibility later, I think that would be a better system. You know, I always believed in managing the cap for the Packers. I'd rather do pay as you go and have the cash and cap match up as much as possible if you have the cap room. Now you got to get to a point where you have it. But, you know, the one thing that you mentioned, the future funding issue and how antiquated that rule is, you've now dealt with on Russell, maybe the two richest owners in the league, with the Allen family and now the Walton family. I mean, have they actually brought that up when they're worth $40, $50, $60 billion? The idea of we can't put $150 or $200 million in escrow, has that actually come up?
Well, I never heard that directly from Paul Allen or his sister Jody, and I never heard it from, and they didn't deal directly with the Waltons and the Penners, but certainly the people who represent them in those negotiations made it very clear that funding was limited their ability to guarantee fully guaranteed contracts, and that was certainly an impediment to it. It came up in this negotiation. I heard it several times.
Really?
You know, why can't we do it? Yeah, you know, we structured a contract that for all intents and purposes has so much dead money over the years. If they were to cut him, he's not getting cut. And one of the things that the Broncos kept saying to me was, you know, it's a virtual lock. It's a certainty. It's certain. You know, it's absolutely. It's, although it's not, we don't call it a guarantee, it's guaranteed. And of course, my response would be, well, you just made my best argument for me.
Then just
go ahead and guarantee it.
Right.
Yeah. And the response was the same. You know, it's, you know, it you know, because of the funding, and then also, you know, listen, they're all cognizant of having the market jump up. And you know, and let's be honest, right now the elephant in every room on every negotiation for a quarterback is going to be Deshaun Watson. And it's, you know, you talk about it, you discuss it. I think we were in a very different situation than Deshaun. And partly because we worked so hard, you know, it was a difficult process to make the transition, to make the decision to get out of Seattle and to go to Denver and then choose the Denver Broncos. Russell absolutely wanted to be there. And then, you know, Andrew, Russell's 33 years old. And when the guarantee in this contract got to the point where it got, I would be hard pressed to look at Russell and say, hey, don't take that guaranteed money at 33 years old. Let's roll the dice, play this season and see what happens. I think that would have been very, very difficult. And really at the end of the day, it was Russell's decision. But I think that I think he made the right decision at this point in his career. And you know what? And I know what people talk about, and they roll their eyes when we say this, but I do think there was some sense that, you know, he did risk, you know, he risked a lot by leaving Seattle in a sense of a legacy and how established he was in that community. And he came to Denver to win championships. He really did. And one of the priorities he had was not to hamstring the club so much that they couldn't, if they needed to add a piece, you know, an important piece to complete the puzzle here, that they could do it and they could afford it financially. Because, again, part of the fallout of this is they lose two first-round picks, two second-round picks, a fifth, and three guys who started for them. So how do you replace those guys, especially you don't get those draft choices back? So they may have to dip into the free agent market or the trade market to fill some needs where they might ordinarily have done that in the draft. So there was a little bit of that in play. I'm not complaining about the amount of money he got. The Broncos certainly took care of him. But I do think there is some flexibility in the cap that's going to allow them to maybe maneuver through the marketplace, whether it's later this season or next offseason, and do the things they need to do to continue to improve.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Mark, and I was going to bring it up, and I was going to use the exact words you mentioned, the elephant in the room. The Deshaun Watson deal is obviously, I thought, would have some real ripple effects and maybe start a new wave of more MLB, NBA-type full guarantee contracts. And I'm sure you brought that up. I'm sure you talked about it from your background. It seems like the owners are, again, I'm not going to accuse collusion, but are just behind this word outlier or aberration when talking about the Watson contract.
Outlier is the word I heard. Yeah.
And basically saying, no, you know, we're not going to do that. And we saw it with Kyler Murray. We saw it with Derek Carr. And now Russell Wilson, as you said, a different situation with 33 years old. But is that where you're hearing? Just that it's almost a back slam of Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, I heard the word outlier from the general manager and the negotiator. So from George and Rich. And I heard it a lot. And it's crept in other conversations. People have used that word. I've heard people interviewed, you know, on television and so forth. Reporters have brought it up. That's the buzzword. It's an outlier. And you know, is it an outlier? No, it's real. It exists. It's an extraordinary precedent. Andrew, I again, you know, if I'm the commissioner for a day, one of the things I think I would try to convince the owners of is, hey, really the problem with a guarantee is not you worry about the player. Maybe like Russell Wilson's always going to be able to throw a football, Lord willing, right? Unless something really terrible happened to him. And so I don't think you worry so much about the skill guarantee, but let's be honest, everybody in the back of their mind has the, you know, career ending injury in, you know, that you've got to consider that. It's certainly a thought. And, you know, we all, every time you think of career ending injury, I always think of Joe Theismann and what happened to him. That really happened on a football field. Yeah. I did Lawrence Taylor. I mean, that whole play, it's crazy, but this is crazy sad for Joe, but, so you have to be cognizant of that. And I always thought, you know, the problem with, as you know, with guarantees, if a player, you know, the cap hit that a club would take if a player did indeed have a large injury guarantee, got injured, couldn't play anymore, that money's going to count, as you know. I think there probably has to be some exceptions to that, whether it's a discount or something along those lines, and to be able to take care of it. I know they don't require it, but they certainly highly recommend that the owners get insurance policies on those things.
Right.
And I think maybe the incentive to do that is to give them a discount back on the cap. Because really, do you want to penalize a team for paying the player the market rate and then the player gets hurt? And now they're going to be handcuffed on the cap for a while because of that injury. It's a challenge. It's not a perfect system. I understand it. I understand why. They're reluctant to do guarantees, but I hate to say it like this, but I think you'll understand the intent. There are certain players in the league that are guaranteed. You're guaranteed what you're going to get from them. Consistency is the key, right?
Yeah.
There are certain players that you can count on, and I'll just leave it at that. And I would put Russell Wilson at the very, very high end of that list. And I mean, he's as sure a thing as there has been in the National Football League, and the fact that he's won more games than any other quarterback in his first 10 years in the league speaks to that. 9 Pro Bowls, it speaks to that. You can count on him. So, again, did this deal change the system? No. Did we attempt to forge new ground? Yes. But at the end of the day, you know, you talk about, you know, we did a very traditional deal with some deferrals and roster bonuses and option bonuses and so forth to allow them to prorate some money through it. But you know, other than that, it's a from a structure standpoint, fairly standard deal.
We'll get back to Mark and story of the Broncos in a second. But speaking of the Broncos, Symbol Sports Exchange is revolutionizing the world of fan engagement by making sports fandom profitable. You can buy in on teams like the Broncos. Symbol is the stock market for sports. It lets you trade pro and college teams like stocks, even earn cash dividend payouts when your teams win. Pro Football Focus has called them the perfect blend of sports and the stock market, offering a new brand new way to invest in your favorite teams and profit off their success. I've jumped in. I haven't done the Broncos, but now that Russell Wilson is happy and signed, maybe I will. I've done some money on the Philadelphia Eagles, and of course, you know me, the Green Bay Packers. It takes the thrill of sports betting, combines it with the profitability of the stock market, give you a platform where fortune favors the fan. So download the Symbol mobile app for iOS, searching S-I-M-B-U-L-L, S-I-M-B-U-L-L in the App Store. Use promo code BUSINESS, all caps, BUSINESS, to receive a free team stock valued up to $150 upon signup. That's code BUSINESS, all caps. Claim your free stock on the Symbol app. Now back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To the agent for Russell Wilson, talking about the new deal for him, Mark Rogers. Take us inside as much as you care to share about sort of the comps. And, you know, we just had a deal with Kyler Murray. You know, there was Aaron Rodgers. There were some other deals. I mean, sort of where do you look at a deal like this and where are they coming in and how are you comparing? Are you looking at first-year money, three-year money? Are you looking at guarantees? Are you looking at, you know, numbers like Watson got besides the guarantee? I know the five extension years, you sort of beat Watson, but you have the two existing years. So when you're sort of structuring a deal like this and looking at the marketplace, what are your key markers?
Well, you know what? Everything you just mentioned is certainly part of your research, right? Again, you're wise because you've been on both sides of the table in this process. And I'll be honest with you, all of those things played into it. Russell was one of his goals was to get a contract that would take him to 40 years old. And so that's how we kind of came up with a 5-year extension. Our first counter proposal to them was a 5-year extension. And we kind of stayed in that realm. They were comfortable with that. You and I both know that is he going to have this same contract for the next 7 years? Probably not. There'll be some adjustments. There may be some restructures. There may be another extension down the road. We know how that goes. But you know what, Andrew, and again, now I'm going to sound like an agent. I'm going to sound like a lawyer negotiating. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, one of my principal arguments in the negotiation was, well, looking at all those other quarterbacks were instructive to some sense. I thought that Russell was on an island of one. I think he was the only comparable to Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. And I think that the early success in his career, all those things on the field, yes. But think about what the Denver Broncos did to get him. I told George Payton, you know, I said, George, you established the price right by what you paid for this guy. If you could have sold 2 first and 2 second-round draft choices in the open market, you know, if you were held an auction, how much money would those have been worth? That right has some value. You gave up 3 starters and a 5th-round pick on top of that. You know, you established the value. And what's unique about this is you have a player that I would argue is still in the prime of his career, and you're able to fix your team by making that dramatic trade. I mean, how many times in the history of the league has a quarterback in his prime been traded? I mean, you know, we know guys have been traded. I mean, the only one I can really come up with is Joe Montana still had a lot of football tread on his tires when he got traded to Kansas City. You know, obviously because of Steve Young being there. And, you know, Brett Favre still had, you know, certainly played at a high level. Yeah. But it's rare in this game. It's rare in this business that that happens. And so I kind of put him, you know, I wasn't going to offend my clients by beginning to compare him to quarterbacks on first extensions, right? The young guns quarterbacks on their first extension. We were doing our third extension. A little bit of a different circumstance.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Aaron Rodgers' situation, you know it well. Aaron Rodgers is you talk about an outlier. That deal, that was an outlier. That's you know, incredibly instructive for a player that I don't know I didn't talk to David about it, David Dunn, about why he did what he did. I suspect, you know, Aaron had a pretty strong feeling about what he wanted, and he got it, and he's happy about it. But that deal, you look at that deal, and you know, it's the argument: is it a 1-year deal? Is it a 2-year deal? Is it a 3-year deal? It's certainly not a 5-year deal. There's 2 dummy years on there to roll some money out. But I don't know what it is. I think Aaron Rodgers and David Dunn know what it is, and everybody else will be guessing for a while. And you know, the Mahomes deal that Lee did was.
I think it's a 1-year deal.
I'm sorry?
I think Aaron did a 1-year deal.
I think you're probably right, and that's what the Broncos and I kind of surmised. But you know, Mahomes' deal was really, really long for a brilliant young player. You know, Lee did. That's the deal that Lee wanted to do. Lee has a fascinating mind when it comes to negotiating, and he got that the kind of deal you'd expect Lee Steinberg to get for a young quarterback like that. So you know, who was he comparable to? Stafford? Well, Stafford's made over $100 million more in his career, and you know, people forget Matt Stafford came to Los Angeles with a losing record and having really a paltry, you know, playoff history because of where he was and what he was doing. And so was he really a comparable? Did he single-handedly win the Super Bowl for the Rams? Obviously, he had a big hand in it. But, you know, he's coming off of that, and I thought got rewarded well. But I didn't think that Russell and Stafford were comps. And so, you got to be really careful because you go down that road, and you start trying to comp guys out, you start getting slotted. And when you get slotted, you know, you're stuck. There's a ceiling and there's a floor, and you get put in that matrix. And so we really avoid being slotted. So I try to stay away from that as much as I could.
We talked about the cash flow where I look at deals and I look at 1-year, 2-year, 3-year cash flow. It's very strong. And I'm not just saying this because you're on here. It's like the 50 bonus, the 5 you already got from the roster bonus in March, the $2 million salary, and then $20 million in March coming. That's $77 million in 8 months. That's pretty strong.
Intentionally strong.
You got to feel good about that. And then the 124 over 3, you know, I was looking at Murray at 105, I was looking at Carr at 100, I was looking at Josh Allen at 95, and Mahomes way under that. The only one above it, of course, Dak Prescott 126 over 3, a short deal. And then, of course, the Watson deal that everyone screams outlier. But, yeah, that cash flow, right. 124 over right. 3, strong.
Yeah. You know, that was, I think, at some point part of a compromise on their part. We pushed hard for that. You know, the certainty of that in 3 years. And then Andrew, the fourth-year contract becomes guaranteed on the fifth day of the 24 season. So that would be the 25-year base salary. So, you know, there's really, you know, that's $161 million that's as certain as you can possibly imagine. Of course, his injury guarantee is 165 with the chance to get up to 205 based on another vesting mechanism in the contract for the 26 season. So I'm, you know, there's a lot of comfort in all of that. That certainly was the goal.
Yeah. We're with Mark Rogers, the agent for Russell Wilson, on the heels of this massive deal extension, 7-year deal. Now, final couple of questions before I let you go. The dealing with these new ownership, and I know you didn't deal directly with Rob Walton, who just bought the team for $4.6 billion, which of course was raised by the acquisition of Russell Wilson, the value of the franchise. How was that? And you're dealing with, I know they have existing management, it's been around the NFL, but new ownership. How was that? And the Walton family.
You know what? I did meet them briefly during camp. I was there when they were introduced and got to meet them. And, you know what? I think, first of all, even though they were new and they had never owned a sports franchise, you certainly would never underestimate the Waltons or the Penners. Brilliant people, if you read about him, and especially Greg Penner, who is running the club, you read about them in the history and their success and all of the things they've done, you would never underestimate them just because they, quote, never owned a sports franchise. But you know, I know that for Rich Hurtado, who negotiated the contract, and for George Payton, I know that there was a lot of instruction and education going on, because let's be honest, you know, this business of owning an NFL team is unlike, I think, anything. You talk about finding a comparable. Give me a comparable on that one. Really, really complicated, right? And I think part of it was just that learning curve. And, you know, there was no real delay because of it. But I was sensitive to the fact that getting a response from them would probably take a little bit longer every time, because it was a matter of, okay, what does this mean? You know, what is, you know, it's, you know, understanding the funding requirement, understanding deferments, understanding payouts, understanding option bonuses, understanding vesting options and so forth. And really, what does that mean? How does that impact our football team? And I'm sure, you know, I don't want to assume this, but if I was a betting man, I'd put a couple of shekels on the fact that they were probably getting some calls from other NFL owners who were very interested in this contract.
Yeah.
I suspect that certain people in Cincinnati and the Los Angeles Chargers probably kept an eye on this one. And that's fine, but fascinating. You know, Andrew, think about. You know, you wake up one morning and now you're looking at the landscape, and now the family that started Walmart now owns the team, and you know, it's a fascinating dynamic. You know, it's intriguing. So it was cool. I enjoyed the idea that you have these highly successful people, highly motivated, brilliant people, running this franchise, because I think long term, you know, they're capitalists and they're going to do what they can to continue to increase the value of a franchise. And the best way to do that, I think, obviously there's a lot of ways to raise value, but winning certainly helps. I think they're going to be motivated to win. Don't suspect they've lost too many things in their day.
And you guys put, I read after the fact, and you can comment on it, there was a September 1 deadline on the deal. I mean, I would assume you were fine if we went back. You have 2 years left on the deal. So where did you think this would happen?
You know my history. With Russell, we've always done an extension with 1 year left.
Yeah.
Never with two. And, you know, it's a really fascinating question. I was absolutely fine with it. I have a lot of confidence in Russell. He takes care of himself. He takes care of his body. You know, he's only missed 3 games in his entire career, including all the playoff games. And that's pretty fat. You know, that's amazing. And there's no reason to believe that's going to change. So I was fine with it. But I think what played part of the decision making was, you know, he's 33 years old, right? And when you're faced with $165 million of injury guarantee and a full guarantee for skill and cap of about $125, and you're 33 years old and you want to win and you want to do everything you can to win, I think probably your expectations shift a little bit. And your priorities shift a little bit. And, you know, I couldn't, as much as I would have been comfortable walking out of there without a deal, I left it up to Russell. You know, I gave him my 2 cents worth of advice, and then I left it up to him. And, you know, part of the equation was, you know, you are 33 years old, and you deserve the right to do whatever you want to do. And don't, you know, nobody's going to tell you what to do. And he made the decision to accept the deal. We did it. We got it done at 11:30, which, and the deadline was midnight.
Yeah.
And as you know, deadlines spur action. And so I was very comfortable with the deadline. I didn't want it to creep into next week as he begins to prepare for his first game as a Denver Bronco.
I'm going to let you go, Mark. I just want a final question. We as a public see Russell Wilson in a very he's just extremely positive. He doesn't say anything controversial. He's just always go Hawks, and now it'll be go Bronx. And just one of the more positive and just upbeat people we've ever seen publicly. But you don't see a lot. You know, you don't see a lot of the depth of what I'm sure you see personally. So maybe take us inside Russell Wilson, if you could.
Well, you know what? I could try. Fascinating, intriguing. I mean, a Renaissance man is interested in so many diverse activities, and he challenges himself intellectually. He's very, 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 very bright. I've never been around anybody at any, in whether it's in sports or any other business or occupation, who can compartmentalize like he can. I'm amazed at his ability to jump from one box to another box to another box and make you feel like he's been living in that box his entire life. Mm. He's got a tremendous business mind, tremendously generous. You know, I wouldn't say to a fault, because I've been the beneficiary of some of that generosity, and just tremendously, you know, his faith drives him. He has an internal fire, a passion about his faith, and he's not afraid to profess it, as you know. It's real. It's incredibly genuine. He's incredibly driven. His ability to manage his time, and really, I, again, of all people I know, he doesn't waste time. There is no lingering. There's no, so he gets a lot out of a day. It's all planned. It's all orchestrated to the minute. One of the fascinating things in my life is every morning when I wake up and I turn on, you know, the laptop, there it is, you know, his schedule for the day that I get from them. And it's, I mean, it, and he, I'll know, I know I can tell you like right now exactly where he is and what he's doing. And, you know, ironically, he got on the jet last night, flew to New York, and he was on CNBC Squawk Box this morning to talk about his new relationship with Carrier.
Yeah.
And I watched the interview. It was fascinating. And I'm thinking, man, just, you know, 12 hours ago, you're in a press conference announcing the biggest deal in the history of the Denver Broncos. And now you're talking about air conditioning around the world. real fascinating. But that's compartmentalizing, right? And you know what? It's funny, they didn't even bring up the contract or anything on CNBC. But it was fascinating. But just he's, you know, I you know what I love? I love that people think he's a square. You know, people say he's corny and he's a square and all that. And I love when they do that, because I think he relishes being that guy. He's just kind of old school, clean cut, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And he does things the right way. And if people want to criticize that, I that's sad to me, because I think really a little bit more of being a square probably today in our society probably would go a long, long way. So hopefully he leads by example on that as well.
Yeah. And the last thing is, I know maybe even more than you do how cutthroat the football agent industry is. And I would imagine he's heard from people, hey, why don't you get a football agent? This Rogers, he's a baseball agent. Yeah, I knew you were a baseball player, but now you're a football player. So you probably had to deal with that over the years too, I would think.
You know, yes, I'm sure that happened. We don't talk about it, but I'll tell you what, that's part of being Russell Wilson, right? He's different, right? He wanted to have, I think he loves the fact that I only represent one football player. I think he loves the sport of baseball. We go to baseball games together. He always, you know, he still believes he could go play second base or shortstop for the New York Yankees today, which I love about him, because that's the optimism that he has. But you know what? I think that part of his DNA is he loves the fact that I'm his only client. I think he likes that a lot. There's no divide. There's no conflicts of interest. There's no division of loyalty. It's all about Russell. And that's okay with me. It's been a fascinating relationship, and certainly rewarding in so many ways, and not just financially, but just, you know, for me, and you know, listen, I'm 63 years old. I'll do this hopefully for a long, long, long time. But what a fascinating turn in my career to represent somebody like, you know, Russell, and who has been so not only fascinating, but diverse in all that he does. Quite a challenge.
Well, Mark, you've done a great job, and now you can sort of step away from football for a while and just enjoy it as a fan. But I really appreciate you and coming on and taking us inside this and taking us inside Russell Wilson. I always appreciate your comments and questions to me over the years. You've been a good friend as well as a great agent for Russ.
Well, Andrew, I appreciate that. I you know, you are an advocate for our industry and our profession, and I know what you do at Villanova Law School and the students that you're producing, and you know, you're clearly, you know, and I'm not saying this just because we're on this podcast, you're truly one of the good guys. But what I love about you is you're always advancing the thinking and the thought behind what we're doing in the world of sports and law. And that I appreciate that a great deal. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, really hope you enjoyed that. That was really something that I hope this podcast gives you that no other does. Really an inside behind the curtain look at a major, major negotiation. One of the biggest in history, probably a top 3-4 contract in the history of football by Mark Rogers with the Denver Broncos. Now, word from Harry's. Harry's is an easy and simple way to do your shaving needs every day. I use it every day. Well, not every day. Every day I shave. I don't shave every day. Gives you a high quality shave for a low price. It's convenient. It's flexible. You get it as much as you want. And now you can get Harry's starter set for just $3. You get a free travel size body wash. You get a 5-blade razor, you get a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. $16 value for just $3. We've got back to school, we've got wedding season, we've got holiday prep. Cut your shave as clean and comfortable as possible as you get into this important time of the year. I really have enjoyed using Harry's. Anytime I need a shave, it's always there. So no matter how many things are going on, how busy things get, stay fresh with Harry's. Get your Harry's starter kit today. You'll also get a free travel size body wash. Just go to harrys.com/BOS, Business of Sports. That's harrys.com/BOS. Harry's, the right way to shave.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Well, that'll do it, guys, for this week's special edition, this Labor Day edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. I hope you enjoyed Mark Rogers. Follow my newsletter if you don't, andrew-brandt.com. My Sports Business League meets every day in terms of videos and once a week to get together. andrew-brandt.com/SBL. Twitter, Andrew Brandt. Instagram, Andrew Brandt 2, where I'm doing reels every day now as well. And of course, give us a good rating on this podcast if you can. We really appreciate that. Share with a friend, especially this special edition of an agent talking about Russell Wilson's contract. Have a great week. Hope you're enjoying the holiday and the start of the NFL season. I'll be back next week with another edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt.